to the house of the Lord. Appreciate the Gunnels for having us over. It's always good to fellowship there and good time of food there and get out and enjoy some nature and walk through those things. But I'm pretty sure he has that property because he's scared to be in a house full of women. He spent a lot of time out there, and I think that's the reason, but it was enjoyable to be out there. Thank you for that. Thank you for all you for making us feel welcome once again. It's always a blessing there. But I don't think we have very much here tonight. Lord willing, we may be kind of brief this evening, but we'll see how things go. In Acts chapter 27, we're going to read one verse once again and just take our thought from there and then kind of to go back and see what's going on in this part. But in Acts chapter 27, we'll read verse number 29. He says, "And then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." So we see here going on, we know this is Paul writing, and he's going through some storms of life as well as some physical storms as we've seen here. If we go back to Acts chapter 21, and we'll see a little bit what's going on, and we'll make our way back to Acts chapter 27 briefly, but in Acts chapter 21, we'll start reading at verse number 26. And it says, "Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him at the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." And then if we were to continue to reading, we'll see that they carry him out. They begin to accuse him of things, and falsely, of course. But we see here Paul going to the temple to witness, to preach, to just to kind of spread the truth, spread the gospel. And of course, these men did not like him doing so. So they grabbed him up. They started to carry him out. And it turns out that they beat him. They mock him and those things. And in chapters 22, he begins to give his defense. He begins to defend himself to his accusers and those that he needs to stand before. And in doing so, he recounts his testimony. You know, telling what the Lord has done for him. Of course, Paul was a great persecutor of the Jews and of Christians and those things. And Paul recounts his testimony there. And then in verse 24, chapter 24, Paul goes before the governor, Felix. He's brought before the governor to give his defense of what's going on. And Felix kind of brushes him off. He's kind of amused with Paul. He's interested in what Paul has to say, but not really. He makes mention that he sends Paul away, but he didn't send Paul away as a free man. Paul was to be watched. And he had men watching Paul that whenever Felix wanted to talk to Paul, that he would beckon him and Paul would have to come back and tell his story once again. So Felix was he was interested in what Paul had to say. And then we see it later on in that chapter and in these things that he has to go before Festus. And Festus was the governor after Felix. Felix, for whatever reason, got voted out or pushed out of power, and Festus was there. And he goes before Festus, and he makes it known to Festus that he wants to appeal to Caesar. He wants to go to the highest court he could possibly go. He wants to go to Rome. He wants to talk to the boss. He doesn't want to talk to these governors anymore. And in verse 11 of chapter 25, I believe, we see here, he says, "And Paul saying, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." He's saying, if I did something worthy of death, I'll pay the penalty. But if not, there's no reason you guys can hold me here or accuse me. He says, I appeal unto Caesar. He wants to go to Rome. He wants to go to the big boss, if you will. He wants to go to the one that will really try him, and he wants to go to the highest court possible. And in doing so, King Agrippa, he decides he's going to have his run with Paul before Paul gets sent to Rome. And he questions Paul and hears Paul out, and they're all really interested in what's going on. And imagine being Paul, just being tossed around kind of like a circus, you know. He's just going before these people so they can talk to him, they can make fun of him, they can just see what he has to say. And I find it interesting at the end of chapter 5, I believe, or maybe it's 26, But he says something to the fact that Agrippa says, you know, if he didn't appeal to Caesar, he might be a free man. Like, we might have been able to let him go. He's done nothing wrong. But nonetheless, since he appealed to Caesar, to Rome, he had to go. And we'll see some reasoning behind that in a moment. And then in chapter 27, where we picked up, Paul is being sent to Rome along with other prisoners. There's other prisoners on the ship, and they're all being sent to Rome for Caesar to deal with. And if we go to Acts 27 and verse number 9, we see what's going on leading up to the verse that we just read. But he says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, lading and ship, but also of our lives.'" We see Paul issuing a warning to the people in charge of the ship. So the times come, there's a storm coming, the winds were picking up, the waves were picking up, and he's saying, I don't think we should be out there sailing right now. I think we should wait. He says there's going to be dangers, not only for the ship, but for our lives. We're going to be in harm's way. So he issues a warning. We continue on, and we see that they didn't want to listen to Paul. After all, who was Paul? He was a crazy man talking about this man, Jesus. And of course, they weren't believers, so they didn't listen to Paul. They decided to set sail as normal and go through their normal daily activities. And then we see, starting in verse number 18, they begin to encounter the storm. And it says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." So they didn't listen to Paul. They set sail. They encountered the storm. And they began to do everything they could to get through it. They began throwing everything they don't need. They started throwing it overboard to lighten the ship so it may not go under. And they've tried everything. And it says that they tried everything with their own hands. And then he said that all hope that we should be saved was taken away. These people were hopeless. They had no hope in what they were doing. They all feared they were going to perish. Their lives were going to be lost. And that goes on, and that brings again to our text verse in verse 29, when it says that they then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern. So they cast their anchors. They wanted to be still in the time of storm. When you're out in a boat, they cast anchors. They don't want to be tossed around. They didn't want to be tossed around by the storm. They wanted to stand still. They wanted to just root down there and ride out the storm. And it says that they wished for day to come. They wished for day. They wished for day so that they could see the dangers. At this time of night, they didn't know where the rocks were. They didn't know where safety was. So they wanted the daylight to come so they can see where the dangerous parts were. And notice how they cast four anchors. They didn't cast just one. One wasn't enough. They casted four anchors that they may be able to stand in the storm. They didn't just cast one or two. They cast four. You know, we encounter many storms in our life. We're not going to go through them, but we encounter so much. Storms arise. We look at the life of Paul, and I think this physical storm was probably the easiest one Paul went through. If you think about all the things he had to go through up to this point, he encountered storm after storm, and we do as well in the Christian walk. We can look at our nation today and know that we're in a storm. And just like this ship here, we need anchors to keep us afloat. We need anchors to keep us steady, if you will. And there's many things we can anchor about. We're not going to look at a whole bunch, but for the sake of just using this verse, we're going to look at four anchors tonight. Four anchors that will keep us and that we can lay our lives on, that we can be steadied in the storms of life. The first one we want to look at is the anchor of God's promises. You know, we can trust God's promises. If you go back to Acts chapter 23, and I believe we're going to spend most of our time in the book of Acts, but in Acts chapter 23, we begin to see God's promises, you know, take part in Paul's life leading up to this point. In Acts 23 and verse 11, again, Paul was finding himself in another hairy situation. There was men that wanted to stone him, men that wanted to kill him and rise up against him. And they started, you know, making lies against him and a conspiracy against him. In verse number 11, it says, "In the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So Paul's going through this great storm in his life. People wanted to lay hands on him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to lock him up. And here comes the Lord saying, be of good cheer. And that's hard enough in itself. He says, be of good cheer. Be happy you're going through this right now because they're not going to do anything to you. He says, because you bear witness to me in Jerusalem, you've done those things. And he says, you must also bear witness in Rome. You're going to go to Rome. So be happy. You're not going to die here. This isn't where you perish. I promise you, you're going to get to Rome. So Paul had this promise that he needed to get to Rome, and that's part of the reason he appealed unto Caesar. He wanted to go to Rome. The Lord told him he needed to go. So if you flip back to Acts 27, we see all this working in Paul's life, and God reiterates this promise time and time again to him. But in Acts 27, in verse number 21, it says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And this is taking great boldness of Paul. Paul's a prisoner. And he's kind of just looking at him and saying, you know, I told you so. I told you this was a bad idea, that we should have stayed and we should have waited the storm out. In verse 22, he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. So he's telling them to be of good cheer, to be happy, not to be down, not to be discouraged, not to be depressed about the situation. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So once again, on this ship, after Paul knew this storm was coming, he said it was a storm that was going to destroy their ship, endanger their lives. And once again, God comes alongside him and says, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid because you have to get to Rome. I promise you, you're going to stand before Caesar. You're going to go to Rome and you're going to be my witness there. So he has this promise. We see that in verse 25 is an amazing verse to me. It's a verse that I hope that we can all agree with at every time in our lives, but I'm afraid that we don't always follow it. But in verse 25, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. For I believe God. He says, don't be afraid, because God has promised me I was going to get to Rome. So don't worry about it. I'm going to get there. I believe his promises. I believe those are going to be exactly what he said to me. And I know we know that to be true. We look in the Word of God, we believe His promises, but, you know, especially in days like today, how often do our thoughts wonder, oh man, this is going to happen. This is going to be horrible. This is going to be bad. This is the end. But God's already promised those things that need to come about. He's already promised us safety through these things. And Paul says, I trust in Him above all else. And when we see some other promises that Paul was given, he says there's going to be no loss of life. That nobody was going to die in this ship. If we look in verse number 33, and it says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. So Paul was so sure of the Lord that in this trying time, Paul said, let's eat. Let's have a feast. You know, how often can we be that sure of God? You know, we worry about things. We worry we don't eat. We don't do our normal things. We spend all of our time worrying. But Paul says there is no fear. Let's just eat. And that's just amazing to me that Paul was able to do that. But he was also able to convince the rest of the ship, a full of lost people, just to eat, to be satisfied, just to go about their lives and just to eat and wait out the storm. If we go back to, well, we won't go through them, but there's a few verses here that go back to talking about that loss of life, that no man else was going to die in that ship. We see that in verse 22 as well as 24 and 31. We see these things, and well, go to verse 31. He says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. We see here during the storm, they cast out the anchors, and Paul already told them there would be no loss of life. He promised them these things. But we see, like, once again, they didn't really listen to Paul. They decided to ready the escape boats, I don't know what you call them, the life rafts, the lifeboats, if you will. And they were going to lower them and try to flee the ship and roll themselves to shore. And while they were doing them, Paul said, don't do it. He says, if you walk out of this boat, if you get out of this boat, I can't guarantee your safety. But as long as you're in the ship, no harm will come to you. And after that, verse 32, the soldiers cut off the ropes. They decided to listen to Paul. They decided to go along with what this man was saying, and they let the little boats go away. And they weren't going to try to flee the ship. So Paul had the anchor of God's promises. No matter everything he went through, he knew the promises of God, and he rested in them. We know that God has promised us many things in our lives. He promised us salvation to those who believe, and we should be assured of that. If we can't anchor ourselves in salvation, there's nothing that can help us. There's really nothing else to hope in. But we're told that salvation is our hope. That is where we are to anchor in. He's promised us safety. You know, just as he promised Paul safety in his life, he promises God's people safety. And we can anchor ourselves in that promise that he's going to bring us through it. He's going to show us the way out. He's either going to bring us through it on this side of glory or the next. He's going to take care of us. We have the promise of a surety, that our salvation is sure, that our God is sure, that it's unmovable, immutable, that he's not going to change, our salvation's not going to go away. We can be sure. No, his promises should anchor us. It should keep us steady no matter the storm. No matter what we're going through. No matter what our country is facing. No matter what our churches are facing. His promises should anchor us to his word. We should just hold fast. Keep him to it. You know, we know the song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. You know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. We should be sure of that. We can have those promises as we looked at this morning, and that harvest and seed time and summer and winter, the sun's going to rise, the sun's going to set, and all these things are going to remain the same. We have those promises. We can anchor ourselves in them. And then we see the anchor of God's provision. You know, God promised Paul he was going to get to Rome. He promised him there was going to be a way. And he provided that way for Paul to get to Rome. And now, it wasn't the best way to get to Rome. I mean, it wasn't very easy for Paul to get there. It wasn't very comfortable for Paul to get to Rome, but nonetheless, God provided a way. You know, and that way just happened to be that you were going to be falsely accused, you were going to be beaten, you were going to be dragged out of the temple, you were going to be locked away, you were going to be drugged before governor after governor and before the king just to be mocked and made fun of. And then you're going to be put on a ship and go through a storm, you're going to be a prisoner. But then you're going to get to Rome. He provided that way. He provided a safe haven along the way, and that seems kind of odd. He was in a lot of danger, but yet he was safe. He was kept close to the Lord. If we look in verse number 26, he says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, and if you read down further, he's saying we're going to be shipwrecked, is what he's saying. He said we're going to be shipwrecked. And that doesn't seem very safe. That doesn't seem like a good thing. But this is right after he says, be of good cheer, that God is going to save us, but we're going to be shipwrecked. We're going to crash the boat. We're going to be crashed. We're going to be stranded for a brief time. That island, we'll see later, was a safe haven for Paul. It was a place of rest. That boat came to rest, even though it crashed. And we'll see how the Lord guided it there in a moment. But Paul had God's provisions. You think about what Paul went through. You know, at times of his life, his friends abandoned him. His very disciples, the ones that followed him, the ones that helped him in his missionary journeys, they all abandoned him. But God always provided for Paul's need. And in turning, Paul always trusted he would be provided for. Not once did he complain. Not once did he just, you know, kind of want to give up. He trusted the Lord was going to provide. If you look in verses number 30 through 32 here, and it says, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down their boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. He trusted in the provisions of God. He says, God is, we're going to be shipwrecked. We don't need to make our own way. The sailors wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to make their own provisions. They were trusting in what they were doing. They were trusting in lightening the ship. They were trusting in their life rafts. But Paul says, God provided us a way. And how be it, you know, you may not like it. We're going to be shipwrecked, but that's the way God has for us. And that's the way we're going to take. You know, when we encounter storms in our lives, we don't always like the way that God's going to bring us out of it. We don't always like His provisions. We don't always like the way He does things. And we try to do things our own way. And that's never going to work. I'm just going to tell you that. It doesn't work. It's not how it's supposed to be. We're promised that God is going to supply all of our needs. We're told this. Not our wants, not the luxuries, but He's going to give us everything we need. He's going to provide the way for us to go. Flip over to Psalm 37 and keep your fingers here. I think this is the only time we're going to leave the book of Acts, if I'm not mistaken. But Psalm 37, we'll start reading in verse number 25. This is David writing. These are some very powerful verses that we should all know. He says, I have been young, and now I am old. So he's lived a full life. He's getting up there in years. He's lived a long time. And he says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and leadeth and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Paul says, David here is saying, I lived a full life. I was a young boy, I grew up, and now I'm an old man, and not once have I seen the righteous forsaken. Not once have I seen God's people being left. Not once have I seen God's people begging for bread. And you see, well, there may be some homeless of God's people. There may be times in our life where it looks like we're down. But God's people are always taken care of. You know, we might not have the luxuries of the world, but God's provisions are far better than those things. And we see how God provides for His people, and Paul trusted in that. He didn't trust in the ways of men. You know how easy it would have been for Paul just to jump in one of those life rafts and fend for his life? He was a prisoner. He could have tried to escape, but he says God's way is the way we need to go. His provisions are what we need to do. So we trusted in those provisions. We need to anchor our lives in the provisions of God to see what He provides for us, to anchor ourselves in the Word that He has given us. And then we see the anchor of God's power. You know, in these chapters, God displays tremendous power. He shows who He is and what He's all about, working through Paul. We think about everything He had to work out for Paul to get to Rome. Now, yes, He could have made it easy. He could have said, Paul, just get on a ship, travel to Rome, and then go preach there. But I think God wanted to show His hand a little bit to Paul. He says, Paul, you're going to get to Rome, and I'm going to work everything out. And think about everything He had to do. He had to get Paul into the temple. He had to get these people to rise up against Paul and to take them away and to be, you know, tossed to and fro between these governors. He had to lay it upon Paul's heart to want to appeal to Caesar. And really, I don't know many people that would want to go before Caesar. I think they would have much better options before these lower governors and these things. And of course, King Agrippa was going to pardon him. But he decided he wanted to go before Caesar. He worked it all out for Paul to get to Rome. He got him on this ship. And then upon this ship, he sent this storm to shipwreck them. And then through that, he sees that they're all safe. They're all okay. And from there, then he goes before Caesar. He gets to Rome. He worked everything out. He calmed Paul through that storm. And that's some great power. You know, I've been pretty blessed in my life. I haven't gone through too many storms of life. I haven't gone through too many hardships that I can think of, but I can look in the hearts and in the minds of some of God's people, and some people are going through so much, and yet they're at complete peace. They go through so many storms in their lives, it seems like they're being battered and torn. You know, it seems as soon as they get through one, they're being beaten down by another. But yet, they still come to the Lord's house. They're still upbeat. They're still an encouragement to us. And I remember stories of Sister Overby. I was too young, I didn't know them, but from what I've heard, Sister Overby was really sick. Brother Overby was the pastor at 12 Ryan, and time and time again, and she was bedridden and things of that. She couldn't get out of the house. And And there would be people there, they tell stories, they go to their house trying to cheer her up. They go there wanting to be a blessing to her, wanting to fellowship with her, trying to put a smile on her face. And they all said the same thing when they left that house. They were the ones encouraged. And I just find that, how could somebody that is bedridden, that is sick, that is going through storms of life, how are they an encouragement to other people? That's the power God has. Paul's going through storms. He was an encouragement to these people. He allowed them to eat. He told them to not worry, but to eat. But not only did he calm Paul, he calmed the lost. As we've already read, we won't read them again, but he calmed the sailors. He calmed the lost, people that wanted nothing to do with God. The very people that wanted to lock Paul up. The very people that were, it could have been the same men that carried him out of the temple, I don't know, but they were lost. And yet God calmed them, allowed them to take bread and see the glory of God. Think about the power it took for him to keep the promises to Paul and to others. You know, Paul had the promise he was going to get to Rome. And I can only imagine what was going through his mind when he was being beaten, when he was being locked up, when he was being, you know, tossed before these governors. It might have crossed my mind a time or two that I wasn't going to get to Rome. These people are going to kill me. But Paul, he knew what was going on. He had those promises and he kept them. We see he had enough power to calm the storm. He controlled the storm. If we skip down to verse number 40, and here we see the dangers if we don't anchor ourselves. When we pick up our anchors, this is what happens. He says, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. And that's how we are in our lives. If we take up these anchors, if we're no longer anchored in the things of the Lord and His provisions and His power and His glory and His provisions for us, we lend ourselves to the storm. We make things worse. We allow the storm to take control. When we're not in God's Word, when we're not anchored in the book, that's when the world starts to take over. And he says, and they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves to the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. They pretty much said, okay, we're just going to raise the anchors, we're going to point our ship to the shore as best we can, and just let the storm take over. Wherever we go, that's what's going to happen. And it says, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and a forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part of the ship was broken with the violence of the waves. So we see here the shoulder, they were shipwrecked. Just as Paul told them they were going to be shipwrecked. God told Paul in verse 26 that they must be cast upon a certain island. Not just any island, but a certain island. And that, of course, is this island that they were shipwrecked upon. But think about the power of God it took to lead that storm there. I don't know anybody that can, you know, steer a boat through a storm and do so with full knowledge they're going to get to a certain place. These sailors didn't know. They just said, let the storm take us wherever it's going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. But God knew. He said, you're going to be on a certain island. And He guided that storm to take that boat to a certain place where God had already told Paul was going to happen. And then when he was controlling the storm, not only did he do that, the ship was tattered. It says, you know, the hinder part of the ship was broken with the violence of the waves. That's how strong the storm was. But yet in verse 42, we see God had the power to keep them all alive. He says, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Think about it. That God just promised everybody was going to live. Everybody's alive after this. And now the centurions, the soldiers, wanted to kill the prisoners. I can just imagine what's going through their mind. They, you know, after all this work God did to save them and keep them alive, now these soldiers want to kill the prisoners. And it says, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, so Paul kind of gained some favor of these sailors and the prison guards. After all, he pretty much saved their life. And of course, it was God working on their hearts that Paul had to live. But he says he was willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. So the centurion says, wait a minute. You know, I want to save Paul, so what are we going to do? He says, okay, anybody that can swim, go ahead, jump out of the boat. So think about what he's asking. He's saying these prisoners, just go, be free. If you can swim, jump out of the boat, go to shore. The other soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners, and he's saying, let them go. And in verse 44 is what's really amazing. He says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Not one person perished. Not one person drowned trying to swim through a storm. We were in Traverse City. We had the bright idea we were going to jump in the lake. It started to rain. It started to pour. I could not swim very well in that lake. I was fully clothed, as these prisoners probably were, but I could barely keep myself afloat and get very far. But these prisoners swam to shore through a storm. Some that were just carried on parts of the broken ship. And yet they all made it safe to that island where God said they were going to be. That shows God's power. Not one of them perished. Not one of them went under. Not one of them went under the water. Not one of them decided they were going to go their own way and try to escape. They all managed to be safe to that land. That shows His power in these verses. And then after all these things, we skip down to chapter 28 and verse 16. We see God's power really begin to work. And He says, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And when we came to Rome, Paul got to Rome. The Lord promised he was going to go to Rome, and now he's at Rome. God was showing His power not only to Paul, but to everybody involved that he was going to get to Rome. And he made all these things happen, survived the shipwreck, led them to the island, got them off that island, got them to where they needed to go, headed them towards Rome, got Paul to Rome. And even more so, it says that Paul was under house arrest. And he said, that's not really a good thing, but the alternative was to be in prison. Paul got a little bit of freedom. He got to just go live in a house, and he had a soldier that kept an eye on him, but he was free to kind of come and go, to have visitors and those things. But that shows how powerful God is. We look in the Word of God, many promises that have made, and many things that we're told to trust in, and God has the power to keep all of His promises. He has the power to keep all of His provisions for God's people. We can make promises one to another, and not one of us can say we're always going to keep our promise. At one point or another, we're going to break a promise. We're going to fail in one way or another. But God will never fail in His promises. He has that power. He will always provide for His people. We know that God has all power over His creation. He created it. He controls everything. He controls the very enemy we're up against. He controls everything. That's how powerful our God is. And He shows that in these verses. We can anchor ourselves in God's power, knowing that He's in complete control, and that's the kind of peace that we should have. That we should know that no matter who's in office, no matter what we're going through, no matter what pandemic comes our way, no matter who tries to rise up against us, that God's in control. We can anchor ourselves in that way. We won't be moved. And then finally, we can anchor ourselves in God's presence. The very fact that God is with His people. Throughout these verses, we see that God was always with Paul. He never left Paul. If we go back to chapter 27 and verse 23, it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He says, this very night, God sent one of His angels to come and comfort me. He says, I belong to God, I serve the Lord, I serve Him. And He sent an angel to let Paul know that he wasn't alone. That Paul wasn't going through this storm by himself. He was comforted by that angel. He was kind of encouraged by that angel to know that things were going to be okay. And if we look in verse 35 once again, after he convinced the sailors to eat, he says, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. But he says he gave thanks to God. During the storm, during this time of his imprisonment, he was able to give thanks to God. God is always present with us because we have that avenue of prayer. He's only, a phone call away, if you want to use that analogy. He's right there. We could talk to Him anytime we want. He's that close to us. He's always near. He never leaves us nor forsakes us as He promised us. But we have unparalleled access to the Father through prayer. Paul could look up to heaven, talk to the Lord. I don't know, if you're ever going through a storm, and you try so many things. You don't know what's going on. You worry. You try to seek the counsel of men or women that you have great faith and trust in. You seek their wisdom, and you're still just not sure what to do. But as you talk to the Lord in prayer, that all just goes away. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Just talk to the Lord. You just feel those weights just lifted away. As you talk to the Savior, as you talk to the Father. And I can imagine Paul doing this, giving thanks for the food in time of the storm. And as he's praying, the burdens were lifted. The people began to realize that they were going to be okay. That's the access we have to the Father. You know, we can go back and read about Christ and when his time on earth was coming to an end, and he was telling his apostles that he had to leave, and he tells them that I'm going to leave you, but when I leave you, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit to you. No, we're never alone. The Holy Spirit is all around us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's never going to leave us alone. He's going to comfort us. We're told that even to this day, when his people are gathered together in his name, he's going to be in the midst of his people. We know that he walks in the midst of his churches. He's here tonight. Every time you all gather in the name of Christ, he's here. He's not going to leave his church. It doesn't matter what's outside these doors, what's outside the church. We know that's not the building's not the church, but no matter what lies outside, God is here with his people. We should be anchored with that. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we think is going to happen, we know that God is here. We know that he's not going to leave his people. I think that anchored Paul more than anything. You think about it, you know, God's power is great, and he needs his power to make everything else happen. His provision is great. And everything he does for us is so great, but the fact that my Lord, my Savior is with me, my God is with me everywhere I go, and it's kind of scary when you think about it. You go places you're not supposed to go. He's there. He knows what you're doing and where you're going, but God's presence should be an anchor to us. No matter what we're going through, we know that he's there to lean on. He says to bring our burdens to him, to lean on him. We'll close in Hebrews chapter 6. But we have these anchors. You know, one anchor is not enough. You know, sometimes we hold to some truths in the Word of God, and we kind of pick out the ones we like, and that's what we hang our hat on. And it takes more than one. We need to anchor on them all, the whole Word of God. We need to anchor on all things. One anchor is not enough. These men, they cast out four anchors. And we've looked at four today, but there are plenty more we can hold we can anchor to and hold to and be sure of. But in Hebrews chapter 6, we'll start in verse 18. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. No matter what storms we're going through in life, we always have that anchor for our soul. If we anchor it on the Lord, we anchor it on God, just like the wise man built his house upon the rock. He built that foundation firm upon the Lord. If we anchor ourselves to God's word, we anchor ourselves to him, our souls won't be moved around. We won't be worried of these storms. We won't be drifted away. We won't have to worry about crashing. We won't have to be worried about being shipwrecked. As long as we keep ourselves anchored in those things. And I encourage you, hopefully it's an encouragement to you, just to anchor in those things. And to know that God is never far off. He's always there. Thank you once again for having us and the invitation to be here. As always, if you need anything at all, just give us a call. Brother, if you'll